Well, Luke 1:38, about the discipleship of Mary, that's what I want to talk about. And that verse contains the heart of what this message I want to share on Mother's Day. And in a sense, it's a Mother's Day message because we look to Mary as an example of a mother, as a wonderful mother, but something more. This verse was in response, Mary's response, to the angel Gabriel, who told her that she would be pregnant with Jesus. And here's what she said. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. You know, we need to have a biblical view of Mary, because some have exalted Mary beyond what Scripture teaches, and others have failed to honor her for her example and what she was in redemption history, what she meant to redemption history. Mary was a devoted mother, handpicked by God to be what theologians in the past have called the Theotekos. I think that's the right pronunciation. The Theotekos, the God-bearer. God had come into her womb in the form of a little tiny zygote, ready to grow up into Jesus, just like we came into the world. He came into the world by a spiritual conception. And she was then called the one who bore, in theology, the one who bore God, the God-bearer, Theotekos. But her life teaches more than just the traits of a virtuous mother. Her devotion teaches us about discipleship, showing us that the true disciple is a person who puts God first. The disciple who is true is a person that puts God first. And her story portrays this. Her story portrays the cost of discipleship. Here's what Jesus said in Luke 14:33. "Any of you who does not give up everything he has, cannot be my disciple." Well, what was Mary willing to give up to be the mother of Christ? Her status as a virgin, you know? That's a biggie for someone that, you know, I'm a virgin and all of a sudden I'm going to be pregnant and I don't have a husband. Well, here's what happened. She was willing to give up her status as a virgin, and yet now, her virginity is almost synonymous to her name. We think about a virgin, we think about who? About Mary, don't we? We do. And some call her the Virgin Mary. Well, she put God first, and so God put her first. She's first. She's the first one we think of when you think of virgin, at least Christians. And her engagement, she gave up, in a sense, she was giving up her engagement to Joseph because she thought, he's going to dump me real quick when he finds out I'm pregnant. Well, that wasn't the case. She gave up her engagement in her mind, gave up her engagement to Joseph, and yet, in Joseph, she was given a husband who cared for her deeply and who courageously obeyed God to take her in as his wife. You know, that's what she gave up and that's what she got in return. And what about her public reputation? You know, she traded something. She traded the slavery of what will people think for the freedom of what does God want. We've got to do that too. Why did Mary put the Lord first, just as every one of us as disciples must do? Why did she do that? Well, she knew and she was true to herself. She knew herself and she was true to herself. Here's what she said. "I know who I am. I'm the Lord's servant." And she was true to that. A servant is someone devoted to the will of another person or others, serving others. often disregarding their own will and their own personal interests. Christians must remember who we are. Who we are. If we get caught up in popularity and what people think, or self-interest, you know, our reputation and things like that, we can get spiritual amnesia. We can forget who we are. We've got to remember who we are. She knew the freedom and the power of submitting to God's Word. Here's what she said. May it be to me as you have said. As you have said. That's God's Word. That was God's Word coming to her. Be unto me as you have said. Don Moen, who's written a lot of great songs, mostly popular new songs, he wrote a song called Be It Unto Me about what Mary had said. Her attitude. Here's what he said to capture this truth of as you have said. Be it unto me according to your word, according to your promises, I can stand secure. Carve upon my heart the truth that sets me free. According to your word, Lord, be it unto me. You know, that just brings almost tears to my eyes. The attitude of that young woman. Mary was a true disciple. She put God first. She had a disciple's heart from the very beginning. But her discipleship was like ours. It has its ups and downs. And those who follow God, as Mary did, won't always see the big picture, as we should. Temptations to doubt can also threaten our faith. Such times can bring us to the crossroads of discipleship. We begin to see the bigger picture of discipleship by letting go of our small ambitions. That's how we get to see the bigger picture of God's will for us and how we follow Him. Now, at the wedding at Cana, where Jesus did His first miracle, and I got that in the poem that you read, that we read together. At the wedding in Cana, there was the urgency of the insignificant. Do we have that in our lives? Yes, we do. The urgency of the insignificant. Mary said, they have no more wine. Well, what are we going to do? They're almost drunk. We want to get them all the way. No, they have no more wine. Now, Jesus, He loved His mother. Jesus gently rebuked her. He said this. He said, dear woman, why do you involve me? Dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus kept, and He wants us to keep. Jesus kept, and He wants us to keep a God-centered view of our time and our energy. That's important. That's the big picture. That sets aside the insignificant things. God wants us to keep this focus on giving our time to Him, our energy to Him. Here's what He said. My time has not yet come. That was His answer. My time has not yet come. And Mary got the point. Mary got the point. And she relinquished control to Christ. How did she do that? Here's what she said to the servants. Do whatever He tells you. Do whatever He tells you. I remember, I don't know, this is not in my sermon. This is a side I forgot about. But David Duplessis, have you ever heard of him? David Duplessis was a great charismatic leader, was preaching to some Catholics in the charismatic movement. He's a Protestant from the Pentecostal denomination. So he wanted to say, he said, you know what? He said, I do everything that Mary tells me to do. I do everything that Mary tells me to do. And here's what she said. Do whatever Jesus tells you. That's great. I like that. Well, our trust in Jesus should override the doubts that others express about Him. And even those of relatives. Because listen to this. Listen to the story in Mark. I'll read it in Mark chapter 3. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He's out of his mind." And then in verse 31-35, then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call to him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will is my brother and sister and mother." Mothers are to be honored. They are not to be honored above God. You know, in other words, it's the faith of our mothers that should draw us to the Lord. We should honor our mothers. If they need to be rebuked, you have to rebuke them gently. Okay. But we might be tempted. We might be tempted to follow skeptical friends, skeptical family. And the best rational argument of unbelief, because a lot of people have rational arguments of unbelief, the best rational argument of unbelief is rooted in a limited view of reality. Think about that. The next time you hear an argument, it's always a limited view of reality. And God has brought the way, the truth, and the life to us in Jesus Christ. "Who are my mother and brothers?" Now, that wasn't a gentle rebuke. That was not a gentle rebuke. "Who are my mother and brothers?" Jesus gave the true test of our relationship with Him in those words. "Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Family ties cannot be the measure of our loyalty to divine truth. Putting God first was Christ's practice, and He expected to be our practice, putting God first. Jesus loved His mother, as I said, and Scripture calls her twice. Scripture does this. "Blessed among women." That's what Mary is. She's among all women that you'll ever know. Mary is the most blessed woman that ever will live on the face of the earth. Yet Jesus exalted a higher blessedness. He did this when His mother was being praised by another woman in the crowd one time. In Luke 11, 27 through 28. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Wow. Mary did pass the test, by the way, of being a true disciple. Her decision to put God first took her all the way with Him to the cross itself, exactly where we will be led if we are to experience what she did, the commitment of discipleship. Where was Mary on the day of Pentecost? Acts 1:14. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with His brothers. She modeled a disciple's commitment to gather with other believers and to give herself to prayer. In other words, go to church and pray. Not just at church, pray in your home, pray during the day, 24/7. And Mary was included at what happened in the upper room in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. All of them, not just a few, not just the 12, but all those gathered together, the 120 with Mary with them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Twice, she modeled a yielding of herself to the Holy Spirit's full control. Twice, in being the mother of Jesus when the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and here in here when she was filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. God does not fill unwilling vessels. He just doesn't fill unwilling vessels. You must be willing. So what happened at Pentecost surely continued. It happened probably, surely continued the rest of her life. The rest of her life, it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 18, Peter was quoting this on his first sermon when he had been filled with the Holy Spirit. He was quoting from the prophet Joel. Even on my servants, both men and women. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days and they will prophesy. Mary modeled a Spirit-filled Christian life, yielding her lips to prophecy. And prophecy means to speak forth God's message. It doesn't mean just predict the future. Prophets spoke forth God's message when people didn't want to hear it. They spoke it forth. The true disciple is a person who puts God first. Mary was a model. Let me not muddle this up. Mary was a model mother because she paid the cost of true discipleship. At the crossroads of her faith, she passed the test of doubt's temptation at the foot of the cross. Others had gone away, but Mary was there at the foot of the cross. John was there, and other women were there. She passed that test. She was committed to discipleship, yielding her life and her lips to the Holy Spirit's full control. And Mary's story resolutely points to her Son as the only Savior. And her discipleship in putting God first, as Jesus Himself did, is the model of a true Christian life. If we would follow Mary's example, we must obey the same instruction she gave to the servants at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. Do whatever he tells you. Let's do that. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you, first of all, for helping me get through this sermon. And Lord, let us take this message in our hearts. And let us look at the example of Mary's discipleship and make it our own. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.